It's a new era of Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime. But here's the part that maybe you didn't realize. They replay the games on NFL Network all week long, including right now. I have the game up on NFL Network. So if you don't have Prime or you didn't stream it or you didn't want to watch it online, you can always catch it with a replay because it will happen multiple times during the week. We know because we're sitting here every night and I have NFL Network up this time of the year always. And so the game is literally being replayed in its entirety from start to finish on NFL Network now. So you don't have to watch it on Prime, but you wouldn't be able to see it live anywhere else outside of the two markets where the game features the actual teams. I thought it was great. I liked the broadcast. The visuals were gorgeous. The colors were beautiful. And that has as much to do with my television as it does with Prime. But I've been impressed with the production quality of actual Prime series. Like I talked about this before, the Jack Ryan series that I've watched two seasons of. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is another show that's really good on Prime. And so the production quality, as much as you might think, oh, it's the internet, it's streaming, the production quality is the same that they would use for a show that's on broadcast TV or cable TV. Just happens now that they put that effort and that money into a streaming option. But really, it's no different. You just have to have a different outlet. I did see a few of you mentioning that your broadcast was buffering, which has more to do with your internet than it does have to do with the broadcast. I didn't have any of those issues. My only challenge is that it's not as easy to fast forward or rewind, but that could just be my remote. I mean, that really has nothing to do with the Prime outlet either. I enjoyed it. I do love Amazon Prime. It's the first streaming service that I've had and that I've used extensively. And so I thought it was a great... I thought it was a great debut. You couldn't have asked for a better game. I mean, that's really what matters, right? We're not tuning into Thursday Night Football because it's on Amazon Prime. We're not tuning into Thursday Night Football because Amazon spent all this money to bring in Al Michaels or to have Kirk Herbstreit. No, we're watching because of the game. And I would say that's the same thing with Monday Night Football, too. I'm not sure what that tells you about the money that is paid to these broadcasters like Joe Buck and Troy Aikman who've moved to Monday nights, or Al Michaels whose contract was up with NBC, so he takes the money with Amazon and gets to do what he loves. Good for them. I mean, as someone who's worked in broadcasting for more than 25 years, still living paycheck to paycheck, I'm glad when broadcasters get paid. I have no issues with that whatsoever. It just begs the question, are we ever tuning into a broadcast because of the announcers? I would say no. I could be wrong. Maybe if Peyton Manning was on the broadcast. Actually, I'll give the caveat there. I would normally not watch an alternate broadcast because I prefer to watch the games and take notes and hear the analysis. And sometimes I'm so tuned into my notes and what I'm seeing that I actually don't even pay attention to the broadcasters. But I will tune in to the Mannings. So there is one broadcast that I will actually watch because of the personalities that are on it. That is not the case for any other TV broadcast. I watch games because it's my job. I watch games because I have to. I watch games because I enjoy some of them, but for the most part, it's my work. There are times when I prefer the radio broadcasts because I love Kevin Harlan. I love some of the iconic baseball play-by-play announcers. And every now and then I'll align, say, Celtics broadcast because Sean Grandy is a friend of mine and I think he's exceptional at what he does. I'll align the TV with the radio call. And I know many fans around the country do that. But when it comes to TV broadcasts, especially a one-off like this, there's only a single game taking place in the NFL tonight. I'm going to watch regardless of who's doing the game and which outlet has the game. I'm not tuning in to Monday night because it's Joe Buck, though I think Joe is brilliant. I'm not tuning in to Thursday Night Football because it's Kirk Herbstreit, though I think he and Al did fine together, initially had some good chemistry. The numbers are not going to be as high as what you would see on broadcast TV, at least not now. And Amazon knows that. Nielsen, which is the ratings company, actually does have the ability to gauge streaming numbers, but Amazon does too. I mean, they can tell how many people are tuned in. Just that's the beauty of the number of, the beauty of the ways that they can chart what you're paying attention to and what you're clicking on, essentially, your viewing habits. Nielsen is going to chart ratings, though, and release them. And I'll be interested to see how many people had this first game open and they were paying attention to it. But Monday Night Football got 18 million viewers. We're not going to get those kind of numbers. So it's interesting that announcers moved all over the place and money's being thrown at them. And for me, there's maybe two or three personalities that would actually be the reason why I tuned into a particular network. The Mannings I love, and I will be really interested in Tom Brady when he makes his debut for obvious reasons. I enjoy Tony Romo. Jim Nantz and Tony do a great job, but that's not why I watch the games. I think he's a goof and he's fun, but that's not why I watch the games. I would have really enjoyed Drew Brees because I think his football knowledge is just wow. I learn something from the quarterbacks who play at the highest level. And so if they are able to teach me about the game and use layman's terms, which I think Tony is really good at, I think Peyton's not as good at. He's forgotten more about football than most of us will ever know. But it's just interesting to his humor and his dynamic with his brother is super fun. The crazy thing about that, though, is I can't watch them for an entire game because I would miss most of the game. I end up paying attention to them. So it's probably better that the announcers are not ones generally that will distract me from the game. I'm really bummed, though. I actually didn't realize that Peyton and Eli were making their season debut on Monday, so I missed their broadcast. I had to go back and watch it. Anyway, what's your reaction to Amazon Prime? I know that it's extra money. I happen to have Prime now for, I think, a fourth consecutive year, and it's not cheap. You pay over $100 for the year, and it's about to go up. I just got under the wire before they raised prices. Cody on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I thought it visually looked great. The logo is cartoonish, but overall everything went smooth for me. I thought it was weird seeing Kirk do the NFL. I want him to stick to college football. Oh, I mean, whatever. Just because you think he should only be talking about college football. What an opportunity for him. And as I mentioned earlier, Cody, the number of athletes that he's followed and covered and analyzed in college who are now in the NFL gives him a leg up at the pro level because he's talked about these guys in his college days and will continue to talk about future NFL stars in his college work and in his college broadcasts. Hadou says we want it on local cable. I mean, it's a new era, new age. Len says the next gen stats are cool. You can see the whole play develop. Not sure if you all checked out some of the alternate broadcasts. There was one completely in Espanol. There was another one that featured next gen stats, which is what Len is referring to. And then there was another one with Dude Perfect. I saw Dan Orlovsky tweeting about it, which is funny. I did not tune into any of the other broadcasts. I was fine with what I was doing. But I do know that they're trying to make it as popular and attractive to various segments of the viewing audience. I'll just be honest. I had no idea who Dude Perfect is. I had to ask Producer Jay. Lisa on Twitter, A-Law Radio. The worst thing about football being on Amazon is trying to go back and forth between football and baseball. Do you have two TVs to watch multiple games? no, I could use my laptop if I wanted to for Amazon and watch a baseball game on TV, which probably will happen at some point. There'll be something that I want to watch on broadcast TV and I'll put the game on my laptop instead. But I will say that I know what you're talking about because you have to exit the app to be able to watch anything else. So that's a bit annoying, but isn't that the point? I'm pretty sure that's the point. Amazon doesn't want you to be able to back out of its broadcast quickly or easily. So what did you think? On Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And then if you would like to vote for the TD, no, not TD of the week, we haven't gotten there yet, the game of the week, or help us figure out who to choose in our survivor pool, because I want to survive in advance. Again, on Twitter or Facebook, look for the poll. The poll is pinned to the top of our Twitter page, After Hours CBS. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Chiefs move to 2-0. And I like the fact that they have won these games in kind of two different ways. These were not wins in which they bludgeoned the competition to death both times. They absolutely did that against the Cardinals in the desert, but this was a battle against another top-tier team in the division.
All in all, a great win. For whatever reason, we like to keep it real close with these guys, and they're a heck of a football team, so glad we came out on the right end of it. The crowd was phenomenal. And they just kept bringing it and bringing it. I thought our defense kept bringing it and bringing it. And especially the second half, the thing I'm probably most proud of was we all stuck together. And nobody was pointing fingers at each other.
I love Andy Reid. Big fan. Clearly a guy who can take a franchise and can, whether or not he's starting from the bottom or he's not, he can easily put his stamp on it and his knowledge of the offense and his creativity. Now, he needs the personnel that will fit with that. But he got a quarterback that gave him a new lease on life in Patrick Mahomes. So give the Chiefs credit for drafting him. But this is who Andy wanted. And the two of them, they fit together perfectly. It's one of the odd couples in sports. I absolutely love it. And then around him, what did he do? He brought in the most versatile tight end you may ever see. He has a bunch of, they're not all Tyreek Hills because they're not all fast, but have you noticed how a lot of the other weapons the Chiefs have? They're mobile, they're fast. A bunch of them are shorter, lower center of gravity. He does a lot of misdirect and motion. I mean, he's got a type. Andy Reid's got a type. And to have Patrick Mahomes with that creativity and that field vision just kind of makes it all work.
That is the chocolate cake with the ultimate frosting.
Oh, I could use some chocolate cake right now. That was a low blow, Producer Jay. Andy Reid.
Give me some more of that chocolate cake.
What is that?
You don't remember that?
No. Is that a Chiefs song?
That is a Chiefs song. That was from the playoffs. I think last year it was Melissa Etheridge was her name. She came out with that song.
Oh yeah,
about the chocolate
Melissa Etheridge
cake.
Is she's maybe before you, but she was popular ways back.
I forgot what she did that on, but she came out with this whole Andy Reid song.
Oh my gosh! I usually think of Andy Reid talking about cheeseburgers, but either one, I could use cheeseburgers, I could use chocolate cake, any of that right now.
We had a few cheeseburgers together.
See what I mean? Because I'm tired, so the food is appealing to me. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. What is your game of the week? We've got a couple of division matchups that are huge. One of them featuring the Packers and the Bears. Now, the Chicago Bears have a 1-0 record. In fact, every team in the NFC North, except for Green Bay, won its first game. And so here is the opportunity for the Bears to maybe get the onus off their backs. The fact that they have really not had much success against Aaron Rodgers or the Packers when he's been their quarterback. But this one's in Green Bay. And considering the way the Packers started against the Vikings, they were abysmal. They were shut out in three quarters. I know that people will point to the receiving core, the fact that Alan Lazard was out. The young guys are still getting used to Aaron Rodgers. He's getting used to them. But Aaron didn't play well either. He was under siege a lot. The offensive line did not play well. It was missing two of its starters. And so we don't know how much of the line will be intact for Sunday night. But I can imagine with that crowd at Lambeau Field, it's going to be a completely different atmosphere than what we saw in the season opener. And then you've got the Bucs on the road at the Saints, where they've had some trouble over the past couple of years, going back to Drew Brees being the starter for the Saints. Now it's Jameis Winston, of course, and the Buccaneers had the only touchdown, the only one, against the Dallas Cowboys. So it was a slow start for both Dallas and Tampa Bay, though at least the Buccaneers end up with their quarterback intact to move forward into week number two. We'll talk about that as we head through the schedule and preview some of these games. But Tom Brady knows, because there isn't a whole lot that Tom Brady doesn't know after all these years in the league.
They know how to get the job done. They got a lot of great core players on both sides of the ball that have been there a long time, so it's a tough environment to play, but you got to go play. You know, you play good teams on the road, you got to go play well. And we just, last couple times we played them, you know, haven't done a great job of that.
Right now, that is your choice, the leader in the clubhouse for game of the week. So check out the poll on Twitter and Facebook. There were a couple of other headlines from the world of sports that we want to get to. A lighter baseball schedule. We did not get another home run from Albert Pujols, though. Do you know, for three consecutive games, he's had RBI. And so I'm trying to think, going back against the Brewers, he had an RBI single in one game, an RBI double in another, and then had a sacrifice fly, though he had multiple strikeouts in tonight's game as well. So no home runs for him going back to the weekend, but honestly, if he hits one home run every week the rest of the way, that's really all he needs. Though I start to get nervous when he goes too many games without hitting a home run. I know it will happen. It's going to happen. He's going to get 700. But I do get nervous when he goes a ways without hitting one. I don't know why I shouldn't get nervous. Everything's coming up Cardinals these days. Coming up next. Sorry, I keep hitting. You know me, I talk with my hands. If you don't know me, just take my word for it. I punctuate with my hands and I hit the microphone. It was a big retirement announcement coming from the sport of tennis. Just a 1-2 punch after Serena Williams retires. And even though this was expected, if nothing else, we weren't going to see this former world number one much longer or many more times anyway. But the announcement came down on Thursday. So we'll get to that too. But we're looking for your thoughts on week two in the NFL. Find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. And what did you think of the new TNF on Prime? There was actually a logo. Logo? Is it called a logo? It's called a badge. What is it that pops up on Twitter when you use the hashtag? What's it called?
Oh my gosh, I'm blanking on it. Oh man, I forgot.
Not a badge?
It's called a...
It's not an emoji?
No, it's not a badge. It's not a logo.
Not an emoji? I got so many tweets, by the way, about the fact that I hate LOL. People really got defensive about that.
LOL.
Yeah, the people really. I mean, that was probably the number one thing that you all responded to about last night's show, except for Leroy Butler. I know you really enjoyed hearing the Hall of Famer again here on the show.
I think they're just hashtags. Hashtag triggered emojis. That doesn't sound
That's
good.
Way too complicated.
Just hashtags, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Whatevs. At the top of the hour, Jamie Erdahl of NFL Network, Good Morning Football. For those of you who wake up early, maybe you leave our show and after a respite, after some breakfast, after you have a few cups of coffee to shake the cobwebs out, you watch Good Morning Football. She took over after Kay Adams left. And so it's not a brand new crew, but it's a new crew. And unless she's faking it, They are having a blast. I mean, a blast. So it's Jamie Erdahl and it's Jason McCourty, one of the former NFL players, the twins that for the longest time were with the Patriots and the Browns. So it's good stuff. It's great content. It's a lot of fun. And it was really neat to be able to catch up with Jamie a few hours before football kicked off because of her schedule. Of course, we wouldn't expect her to join us live here on the show. So you'll hear my conversation with Jamie Erdahl coming up at the top of the hour. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Crescendo any moment now. Yeah. It's an ace! It's an ace from Roger Federer, arms aloft. A record eighth Wimbledon title. The oldest man in the Open era to win the Wimbledon title and surely the greatest champion here at Wimbledon.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Roger Federer set many records and eclipsed many marks in tennis in his two decades plus. He essentially was the Serena Williams of men's tennis for his career. World number one, 20 Grand Slam singles titles, now actually ranks third all time among men because Rafael Nadal bypassed him on the strength of all his French Open wins. And Novak Djokovic, who recently won, won at Wimbledon, right? Did he win at Wimbledon? Yeah. He picked up his 21st. And so now, crazy enough, Roger Federer is third. But for years, it looked as though Federer would end up with more than 20. He dealt with multiple knee injuries and knee surgeries. And because of that, he's not played a competitive match since reaching the quarters at Wimbledon in 2021 and then announced the next month after that he had gone through another knee surgery. He was there at the All England Club this past summer. You may remember that they had a big celebration to mark the 100th anniversary of Center Court. And to be able to walk out there on the court and surprise the fans, it was an awesome atmosphere. It was really neat to hear him. Of course, he wanted to be playing, and he said that he hoped to get back there to the All England Club and play one more time, but then made an announcement on Thursday, on his social media. And it's bittersweet. I am a huge fan of Roger Federer. I know he has nothing more to accomplish, but it was hard to hear this on his Twitter.
I am 41 years old. I've played more than 1,500 matches over 24 years. Tennis has treated me more generously than I ever would have dreamt. And now I must recognize when it is time to end my competitive career. This is a bittersweet decision because I will miss everything the tour has given me. But at the same time, there is so much to celebrate. I consider myself one of the most fortunate people on earth. I was given a special talent to play tennis, and I did it at a level that I never imagined for much longer than I ever thought possible.
Such a joy to watch. Classy and gracious. Obviously a skilled player, a shot maker on every surface. But you couldn't have asked for a better ambassador for the game of tennis. And so he will play one more tournament, and he'll do it with the other greats of this era, Rafa and Novak and Andy Murray, the Brit. They're set to play together at the Laver Cup in London. So they will be part of Team Europe. And Rod Laver, of course, is an Australian icon, and it's an event that Roger Federer generally plays in. It's actually run by his management company. And so you've got Europe's top players against the rest of the world. And according to Federer's agent, he's been having issues, some pain and some other struggles related to his latest knee surgery and the recovery from his latest knee surgery. And so according to his agent, there was an interview that was done with him for the Associated Press after he made that appearance on Center Court at Wimbledon this July. He actually reached out to his rep and said, my knee's not reacting as well as it should. And that he was thinking about ending his career and how to do it And into his 40s, you're talking about a man who played at the highest level. And as I say, also represented tennis in a way that he will be missed. There will never be another Roger Federer, the grace and the class and the impact on the game, because he was able to take it from the hard courts to the grass, to the clay, in all countries and against competitors who were half his age, right? And where do we see that? Well, we see it with other guys like, we've been talking about Albert Pujols and Yadier Molina and Adam Wainwright, all in their 40s. But how about?
Phenomenal. Just a great player. You know, he's just a great competitor. And, you know, I think all those guys, you know, we all work so hard, I think, at our, we all do, you know. I'm sure you guys do, too. You're at the top of your profession, too. So we're all just working hard, trying to be the best we could be at it. And, you know, he had a great run.
Finally, to the game of tennis, I love you and will never leave you.
That's great to hear, because with the retirement of Serena Williams and now the retirement of Roger Federer, and we know that Rafael Nadal has been dealing with his own injury issues. He's a guy who is a couple years younger, but plays so hard that his physical body very often is paying the price. Novak is, I don't know if he's still in the prime of his career. The last couple of years, he's been on and off the court for various issues, not just related to vaccination status, but the way that COVID affected many athletes, many professional athletes, especially internationally. I would expect he'd still have a couple more Grand Slams to his name. But if you think about post-Roger, the end of Rafa's career, Novak with a few more good years, on the women's side, we already know what's happening. With Serena being only involved in a handful of tournaments the last couple years, it's so wide open that you really can't get to know any of these players. From one tournament to the next, your top seeds could be out in the first couple rounds, and it's a bunch of athletes who are trying to step in and earn their first Grand Slam or their first big tournament win. I can't remember a time when the sport has been this wide open for both the men and the women. After Pete Sampras and Andre Agassi, there's been a void for American men. And we're starting to see some Americans like Francis Tiafoe kind of step into that void. But we've seen a revolving door of young American tennis players. For a while, Andy Roddick was at the top. John Isner has been around tennis for a long time, but not great champions or champions for an extended period like what we saw with Agassi and Sampras. And in that void, we had Roger Federer, Rafael Nadal, then Novak Djokovic. American tennis still looking for its next great star. And certainly with Serena out on the women's side, I mean, think about this year in women's tennis. It's a different winner. It's different finalists in almost every tournament. Iga Swiatek has put together a good run and has won a couple of big tournaments. But we don't have any massive superstars on the women's side who've been able to put a stranglehold on the game the way that Serena did. And now men's tennis is going to go through something very similar. So yeah, wide open, a little bit like what golf has gone through over the past few years, actually. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. What's the After Hours game of the week? And I appreciate the fact that you're responding in the wake of Thursday Night Football and Amazon Prime. Your reaction, Facebook too. Top of the hour, really excited for our conversation with Jamie Erdahl, new host of NFL Network, previously of CBS Sports. Last time I talked to her, she was with us on Radio Row in Minneapolis because she's a native Minnesotan. We were at the Mall of America. It was cold and it was snowing every day, below zero. We were crammed into these teeny little spaces in the food court in the Mall of America. But I got to know her and meet her then, and it's really neat to see the turn that her career has made now. So a conversation with Jamie is coming up at the top of the hour.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Here's the payoff pitch. Swing and a drive in the air to right. Back goes Mitchell, still going. It's over his head. Bounces up against the wall. McNeil has scored. Racing for the plate, Alonso. He scores standing, and standing at second, clapping his hands with a two-run double is Daniel Vogelbach.
First pitch. He rips one to right, way back toward the Coca-Cola corner. It's gone. Home run, Francisco Lindor.
2-2 on the way. Swung on and missed strike three. A changeup, and that is strikeout number 10 for Carlos Carrasco.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The New York Mets take advantage of the Braves finally being done with that West Coast swing, and they break out of what was a pretty drastic offensive slump. But on Roberto Clemente Day, pretty neat for one Francisco Lindor to be able to hit a home run. His two-run blast gives him 94 RBI on the season.
Special. I wasn't trying to hit a home run. I was just trying to do whatever it takes to help the team win. Got a good pitch, and it went out. It's a special day for me, for a lot of people in MLB, for Puerto Rico, for the Clemente family. Blessed to be out here representing him today.
I knew what a big night it is for him with Roberto Clemente. I know that meant a lot to him, but he's just been a rock for us in so many ways. He just, certain things you put over in the I can count on that column.
Buck Showalter about his shortstop, Francisco Lindor. The Mets have a game lead, but the same number of losses as the World Series champion Braves. So Atlanta did not play on Thursday and is two games back in the win column. And so essentially the Mets have two wins in hand, but they actually have a lower run differential than the Braves now because their offense has sputtered over the last several games. But for them to get a win and to at least put a smidge of extra breathing room between them and the Braves as they head into the weekend is big. I don't know though. This was supposed to be a month in which the Mets are playing a bunch of teams with losing records, and yet they have trouble with, well, they get swept by the Cubs. Who, they had trouble with the Pirates? What was the other team that they really had trouble with recently that you wouldn't have expected?
The Nationals gave them a
Nationals.
Hard time.
Well,
before the Cubs.
That's in the division. But yes, getting swept by the Cubs was rough. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, Howie Rose, and Wayne Randazzo. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. What did you think of the new Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime after seeing it? Or maybe you didn't see it and you don't have any plans to pick up Prime. Some of you were saying to me, hey, I only have basic cable. I can't afford Prime, or I'm not going to add a streaming service. Honestly, I know a lot of people now who don't have cable and only have streaming services. So they maybe have Netflix, they have Prime, they have Paramount Plus, or they have Disney Plus, and maybe with YouTube TV, that's where they watch all of their TV. Prime, at least what I paid for Prime when I renewed in February, is cheaper annually than my basic cable. And I do watch a ton of series on Prime. And so you could pick Prime over your basic cable. I try to cut as much as I can from my monthly costs, and that's included trimming some of my cable channels away just because I can't afford them. I don't have Red Zone. I actually don't like NFL Red Zone. It's too busy for me. I like to watch actual games for longer than three snaps in the Red Zone. I like to see what else is going on. But there are many channels that I do not have because I need to try to cut costs in some ways. But Prime and Paramount Plus is a big one, too, because it's the CBS arm. And so you're able to get a bunch of different broadcasts there. I think I watched U.S. Women's National Team game on Paramount Plus not that long ago. And they also carry, of course, football games there, too. So what did you think of Prime? On Twitter, you can also vote for the After Hours Game of the Week. And we're going to talk football, of course, through the second half of the show, but also Jamie Erdahl of Good Morning Football on NFL Network. Our Facebook page, too, and our YouTube channel, both easy to find. Just Google us, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Sticking with Major League Baseball, did you know that the Tampa Bay Rays started an all-Latin lineup on Thursday? I don't know if that had anything to do with the outcome, but it was kind of a cool moment as the Rays were taking on the Blue Jays.
Yandy waits the pitch. Swing and a long drive to left field. This one's on its way to the Toronto bullpen. Gone! Three-run homer, Yandy Diaz, and it's 4-0 Rays. The head of Gantt Broadcast Services, our engineer, to swing and a drive to deep left. Ranging back Merrifield to the wall. Gone! Isaac Paredes with his 19th home run of the year, and the Rays lead by a handful.
11 runs on 11 hits. An 11-0 slaughter. Ooh, that's not a, I don't like that word. 11-0 trouncing. That conjures up fewer images, not quite as much the same connotation as, I can't even say the word, slaughter, blah, blah, blah. Andy Freed on Rays Radio. So yes, they start a lineup that is all Latin for the first time ever, though Kevin Cash said it actually wasn't intentional.
It's pretty cool. I didn't know that till halfway through the game. Somebody had mentioned to me, but it's very surprising at the same point, just because of the Latino community, the impact they've had on Major League Baseball for so many years, and extremely fitting to be on Roberto Clemente Day.
That's what I thought. How could it be the first time? It feels like everywhere you turn in Major League Baseball, there is such a powerful and... what's the word I'm looking for? Powerful and popular, for sure, but also accomplished Latin presence. Every team now. And a lot of times you'll see how important it is to have a veteran player who comes from the Dominican or Puerto Rico or somewhere else, because the younger guys will gravitate toward him and will kind of learn the ropes, especially if they don't speak fluent English. It's a good opportunity for them to have someone who's maybe like a big brother or a source of wisdom as they try to acclimate to the culture in Major League Baseball and in the United States. By the way, Shane McClanahan with his 12th win in that 11-0 victory for the Rays. Also, the White Sox end the Guardians' win streak, and that's going to be a battle with the Twins through the rest of the regular season. Guardians are still up by 3 games over the White Sox, but the White Sox are surging a bit. 7 of their last 10, the Twins are a game back. When you're looking at the wild cards, I know we're always talking about the AL East race behind the Yankees. Mariners and Blue Jays right now are your top two. Rays are hanging on to that third space for the AL wild cards. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Don is listening in Clearwater, Florida. Don, welcome to the show.
Hi, Amy. How are you doing?
I'm good, sir. Thank you.
I just want your opinion. I have a real serious problem with this Thursday night football prime thing, and I think it's just going to get larger. When the contracts of CBS and Fox come up, and we all know the NFL and the owners are all about the cash, and Amazon's got more cash than these people probably both put together. ESPN, I doubt that they'd be able to touch that. But is it going to get to the point to where we're not going to be able to watch football anymore for the local cable subscriber?
Well, I don't know who we are. If you're referring to all of the United States, I dare say there's a good chunk of the people in the country who do have Amazon Prime. It's pretty common now. But if you're in the local market where the game is originating, or it's your local team, you're not losing your local TV. So the Chiefs in Kansas City, as well as in Los Angeles, Chiefs and Chargers fans were able to get their games over local TV. So this was an out-of-market broadcast, essentially. It was a national broadcast, but it did not take away from the local TV networks.
I didn't know that.
But also, right. But that's only in the markets where the game features the two teams, right? So I don't even know who next week's matchups are.
So if the Chicago Bears are on Thursday Night Football, I'll still be able to get that, and nobody else will unless they go to Prime.
Aren't you in Florida?
Well, I am a Chicago Bear fan.
I know, but if you're in Florida, you're not going to be able to get the Chicago broadcast, no.
You know, I am not the sharpest knife in the drawer.
No, no. So Don, what I'm saying is where the two teams come from, you'll get the local TV. So next week's matchup is Pittsburgh and Cleveland, which means in Pittsburgh and in Cleveland, they'll get the over-the-air broadcast, the local network, meaning the local TV channel, not national, but everybody else will have to watch on Prime. However, Don, an option is always radio. Radio's not changing. Westwood One had the game tonight, as well as the two local broadcasts. So you're always able to catch the radio. I happen to have SiriusXM satellite radio, so I can listen to any local market. So yeah, you may be losing the national broadcast, but also Fox and CBS just renewed their broadcast rights with the NFL, so that's not changing anytime soon. But Thursday Night Football is on Amazon for, I think it's over a decade, actually. They've paid for the rights. So outside of the local market, you won't be able to catch it anywhere else in terms of video, but you will be able to listen to the radio broadcast, either local or national. So there are always ways around it. But yes, I do believe streaming will have more and more of a presence when it comes to broadcasting sports, because there's a lot of money there. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.